Today we want to understand the five basics of discipleship. This is an outline of the entire Christian life. This is an overview. This is where every believer needs to go and what every believer needs to know. You see, discipleship simply means the disciplined following of the Lord. It's not something we simply start, we have to continue. It is, in fact, the continuance that gives evidence that we are, in fact, genuine followers of the Lord. Take a look at this scripture with me for a moment. Here's what Jesus said. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And in fact, the very next verse is kind of interesting. It's just the one that follows, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The necessity of continuance. We all need some kind of structure to help us understand the big picture. Some kind of structure by which we can grasp where we are at and where we need to go in our walk with the Lord. This outline is designed to help you in your own personal discipleship of the Lord or to help someone else in the following of the Lord. There are five basics to discipleship, and so let's begin with the first one. I hope you've got your notepaper and pencils ready. The first step in discipleship is to be born again, to be reborn. Scripture simply asserts you must be born again. This is where it all starts. A genuine change that is the equivalent of being born all over again. In fact, when Jesus suggested this, the man said, well, should I enter the second time into my mother's womb? And of course, he missed it. What we're really talking about here is a change that is so great, it is the equivalent of really starting all over again, a fresh start. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. It's a change of values. It's a change of management, if you please. It's a change in your present, and it will certainly change your future. It's a new beginning. In fact, years ago, someone said, put out a little tract that said, if being born hasn't given you much satisfaction, try being born again. To be reborn means to be born anew, born into a new kingdom out of an old, into a new way of life out of an old way of life, into a new management system, as we shall soon see. And Jesus said, now don't marvel that I'm saying to you, you must be born again. It's necessary, so don't marvel. You see, in a world of hurt and damage and division and divorce and death and dying, in a world where human wreckage is piling up fast all around us, nothing is more necessary than a change. But what's needed is not just another idea. We have lots of those. Not just another philosophy, not a lecture. Something much warmer. What's needed is a person. And so, Jesus the Savior. It's necessary to be born again. Don't marvel. It's possible. Don't marvel. You see, we can't lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps, so to speak. We need a Savior. And what a Savior He is. It is possible. So don't marvel. Don't marvel. You see, when you meet this Jesus, He will change you, transform your life. And when you meet Him, four responses are necessary. And I want you to catch these four aspects of being born again. Because in this day, we don't just have people being true to false gods. We have people being false to the true God. And how does one tell the true gospel from a false gospel? Let me give you a little clue about this before we get these four points down. You see, if someone says God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, that's probably the true gospel. The false gospel says God loves you and has a wonderful life for your plan. That's a false gospel. And what we want to understand then is what are the four aspects that are necessary to be born again. So let's look at them. Number one, It takes repentance. Except you repent. This is the key. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Acts, it says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent simply means a change of direction. This is the change of heart. You see, if you meet Jesus and you go away without exercising repentance, without changing, going back into the same groove you were in before, no genuine rebirth can take place. It requires repentance. The second thing in this outline is we must understand that we must have faith. The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It simply means to put your faith in, to put your full trust in what he has done for you on the cross. You can really trust him. You can have faith in him. He'll never let you down. And then the third thing is baptism in water. And look at the scripture with me. Here's what it says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Everyone should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You see, we need to get a real grasp on this and not make an error. Baptism is an outward testimony of an inward change. It's a public way of demonstrating what's happened inside. Now, you need to understand that baptism of itself does not save anybody. I think it was D.L. Moody said that if baptism would save people, I would get a bucket and go up and down the streets and get everybody. Baptism doesn't save. But here's the problem. Whatever prevents people's obedience to be baptized is indicative that they haven't really repented. And of course, unless you're the thief on the cross and you die before you can get to the waters, that's a different story. But everybody should obey the Lord as the first sign of having genuinely repented and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and that they are following him. And then fourthly, in this section of first section is how to be born again, is the first basic of discipleship is to be born. It requires this thing called continuance. I mentioned it earlier. Let's take a look at the scripture again. Here's what Jesus said. If you continue, and this is the biggest word in the English language, if. It's the hinge upon which the gates of heaven swing. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is not enough to repent and believe for 10 minutes or for 10 hours or for 10 days or for 10 weeks or months or even 10 years. Continuation is a nonstop evidence, the proof that we are genuine followers of the Lord. If you continue nonstop, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, there's a lot of controversy over whether or not you can be saved and lose it. And whether if once saved, you're always saved. And we have two figures, Calvin and Arminius, who represent the two sides. Calvinist says, once saved, always saved. Arminius thinks you can be saved and lost a number of times. And maybe you have faced the issue, this question. I want to suggest you that to me, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter because, you see, the Arminianist knows he's saved, but he's afraid he might lose it. The Calvinist knows he can't lose it, but he's afraid he hasn't got it. You see, the Arminian who stops following, according to his theology, loses it. The Calvinist who stops following, according to his theology, never had it. So it isn't much difference which of these two extremes you should choose. Because it is, in fact, continuing in the Word that is evidence that we have the real thing, that we are truly converted, and that we really are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the first section. It's about being reborn. Now, the very next thing, and this subject of continuing in the Word brings up the second basic of discipleship. The second basic is here. Look at it. It's rethink. You see, this one, reborn, gets your heart right. And the very next thing a person needs to do is get their head right. Now, The second one here, learning to rethink, means learning to think the same ways that God thinks. And there's a very good reason why, and here it is. Look at what the scripture says. God says, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts, and my ways are not like your ways." Watch this next verse. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So when we become a Christian, we become that way by getting reborn, repentance, faith, baptism, and continuance. But the next thing we need to do after our heart is set in the direction, has been changed in the direction of God by the Holy Spirit through what Jesus did on the cross, the next thing that needs to happen is we need to start getting our heads straight. Let's look at another verse about this so we get it really plain. Here's what it says. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and," look at this, "the unrighteous man his thoughts." Forsake his thoughts. "The unright man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." We need to forsake the old thoughts and start the new way of thinking. You cannot live the Christian life and maintain the old thinking that we had before Christ. We need to learn to think right about every subject that touches our life. For example, you need to learn to think right about parents. Here we are. Take a look. In fact, the scripture says, "Honor your father and your mother." Look at this, "that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee." Now, if a person does not learn how to properly think about his parents, it will not go well with him. So to get born again is one thing, but then to get our heads adjusted, to learn how to rethink, is quite another. We need to learn to think right about parents. We need to learn to think right about marriage. With all of what's going on today, we need to learn to think God's way about marriage. We need to learn to think God's way about problems. In fact, you know, the way that God thinks about things is usually the opposite to the way the human naturally assumes. For example, most people try to avoid problems. But listen to James for a moment in Philip's translation. This is what it says. "When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as your friends. Realize that they've come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet a particular problem, he is only to ask of God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel guilty or ashamed." You see, God's way is to, when you have a problem, is to welcome it, and he will turn the problem into a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. Instead of trying to avoid problems, we learn to use our problems to make us better, not bitter. Need to learn to think right about sex. Learn to need to think right about courtship. Learn to think right about money. And all the subjects, look at it, every subject that touches your life. For example, we need to learn to think right about ourselves. Because if you don't think right about yourself, if you don't think God's way about yourself, you will have a constant battle with genuine self-acceptance. We must learn after we get born again, after we come into the kingdom of God. The next thing in discipling is to get our heads straight after our hearts. Now, the third thing is to refocus our emotion. Look at the diagram with me for a moment. Getting reborn up here has to do with getting our hearts right. Rethinking has to do with getting our heads straight, thinking right about every subject that touches our life. But this third one, watch this now, is learning how to get your emotions going the same direction as God's thoughts. Listen with me for a moment. If I know that God says to go this way, but I have feelings going the opposite way, what do I do? Well, I have to go God's way anyhow. And I fight this tremendous war between the direction I know I should take and the feelings that are taking me the opposite way. But how much better if we could learn the six principles of how to get those feelings turned around and going in the same direction as God's right thought. Now you see, God not only says go this way, but all of our emotional energy is going the same direction as God instructs. And so watch here again with a diagram with me. What we must do is we must learn the six principles here on how to get our feelings turned around going in the right direction. Reborn, get your heart right. Rethink, get your head right. Refocusing your emotion changes your emotional energy to be in the direction of God. And you know, something wonderful happens when our feelings are going in the direction of God. In fact, look at this scripture with me, because it says this in Acts, that they should seek the Lord. Look at this. If happily they might feel after Him. Feelings were never meant to be a guidance system, but they are an empowering system. And we must never let them lead us. But neither must we live the rest of our life fighting with our feelings all the time. What we want to learn to do in true discipleship, the five basics: get reborn, get our hearts right. Number two, get our heads by rethinking every subject. And number three, refocus, learn the principles on how to get our feelings turned around going in the direction of God. And then the fourth step in following the Lord is then to begin, look at this, to replan your life. Watch the diagram with me for a moment, because I'd like to ask you a question. How is it possible that we can learn to think differently than we ever thought before and yet still be pursuing the same goals in life that we used to have? Do you see the importance of this sequence with me? We got to learn to think right, because it's only with the foundation of right thinking and right emotion and our heart made right that we can now begin to plan the direction that our lives should take. See, here's the problem. Watch the diagram with me. Here's the big problem. Many people get born again, and then they skip right down here and keep going with the plans in their life, and they skip these two important sections. And therefore, their plans never work out. They always end up going the wrong way and fighting so many battles. You see, we need to plan based on the right way of thinking. Now, God has a wonderful promise for you. I want you to see it here in the book of Jeremiah. God says, I know the thoughts that I have and that I think towards you. I have thoughts, God says, of peace for you. And look at this, and not evil. And I want my thoughts have a goal in mind for you. I got some great plans for you. Oh, how big the plans are. So we must learn to replan our lives based on being reborn, got our heads straight, next rethink, and then get our emotions, and then we begin to replan our lives. And this means, look at this, starting spiritual goals, having new educational goals. By the way, I long ago decided that I would rather have a knowledge of the Bible without an education than to have an education without a knowledge of the Bible. And so replanning meant for me changing my educational values. It may mean replanning vocational goals. It may mean setting new financial goals and, in fact, new domestic goals. You see, replanning has to do with setting the goals and pursuing them in order to achieve my God-given purpose in life. Now, I'd like you to take a look at this once more. Take a look at this. First, we get reborn. Then we get our heads straight. Then we refocus our emotions. And then we get our plans straight so we know where we're going in life. And by the way, don't worry about the obstacles, because the world will step aside to let any man pass who knows where he's going. And once we have our hearts right, our heads right, and our feelings under control, planning our lives and following through on those plans is not so difficult. Well, the fifth part of the basic of discipleship, look here with me, is to reproduce. Watch with me here. Because this fifth one, reproduce, has to do with leading other people into the same thing that you have. I'm going to show you and demonstrate that for you in just a moment. Before we do, I want you to see this scripture, though. Here's what Jesus said about reproducing. Go, therefore, and teach all ethnos, all nations. Everybody you get a chance to teach the things you've learned. Here's what we're supposed to teach them. Look at this. Teaching them to observe all things that He's commanded us. Back up there in the thinking stage and in the replanning stage and in the refocusing emotion stage. I want you to teach all these things. And He says, if you do this, I will be with you even unto the end of the world. Well, let's take a look at that. Reproduce. First, what do we need to learn in this section? And by the way, these could be five sections of a notebook. It certainly is the five basics of the overall. You can look at these five and decide where you left off in your discipleship and in your personal growth and plug in where you left off and let's get going and fulfill the five basics of following the Lord. So in this area of being able to introduce others into the same life that we have, number one, we will want to learn the Bible principles of witnessing. How do you speak to somebody else about their condition? Secondly, you'll want to know the Bible principles of how to overcome objections when you're talking to them. This is simply necessary because, you see, we don't do things the way the world does things. The servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle. So we must learn the principles here on how to overcome objections in dealing with people. Then we need to know the principles of spiritual fullness. We need to know what this baptism in the Holy Spirit is about. Let me give you a short verbiage of it. Spiritual fullness is simply this. It's the outflow and the overflow of the inflow of God's Spirit. And we need to know that in order and have that functioning in our lives in order to be spiritually reproductive. Then we want to learn the 21 gifts of the Spirit and three categories of gifts in Romans 12, Ephesians 5, and Ephesians 4 and Corinthians 12, and learn the 21 gifts of Spirit and how this all works. We want to learn, in addition, the principles of discipleship. That's what we need to cover at minimum level in this fifth section, this fifth basic of discipleship, which is to reproduce. Now, watch with me one more time. The first of the five basics of discipleship is to be genuinely born again. Then the next thing is we learn to think right. Get our heads straight on every subject that touches our life. Every subject. And then thirdly, we want to learn how to get our feelings to go the same way as God's thoughts. So we have all of our emotional energy helping us to go the right path. And then fourthly, we want to replan our lives. Now watch this. And number five, let me show you what number five is. Watch carefully. Number five, after we've learned the things we've talked about in number five, what we're really talking about, we're learning how to bring someone else to number one. Number five is actually teaching that person everything you know about number two so they can get their heads straight. Number five is sharing with them the principles that you learned on how to get your feelings going the right way so they can get their feelings going the right way. And number five is perhaps sharing with them the principles that you learn from the Scripture on how to replan your life so that they can learn to replan theirs. And number five is also teaching them everything you know about how to reproduce. Want to see why? Watch with me now. So that they can go and bring someone else to number one while you bring someone else to number one. And because you've taught them to rethink, they can teach somebody else to think right the way you'll do with someone else. And this goes on and on and on and on and on. and everybody will lead, lead to the Lord. A little crooked here, but that's okay. Everybody we lead to the Lord will learn how to lead others. I've often asked myself, why is it that in the early church, there seemed to be no deterioration in the quality of life with the rebirth of one generation after another? I think the answer is because they understood the basics of discipleship. Reborn, rethink, refocus emotions, replan, and reproduce. This is a time to get disciplined, to get discipled, to continue in His Word, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. And in fact, as you're walking with me as a fellow traveler on the road to eternal life, following the Lord Jesus Christ, if in fact the Lord Jesus should look over His shoulder, my hope is that He'll see you and He'll see me following, ever following in His steps.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.